Tony Wiggins here. I went to OTAs. I'll tell you everything about a team that I call the Young and Untested. Sounds like a soap opera, doesn't it? I'll get to it here on the Locked On Jaguars episode in just a second.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is happening, good people? Thank you for joining us for another episode of Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. It's your team every day, and we are eternally grateful to always have you be a part of the show, reminding you that we are available on all platforms. I'm going to purposely push you to YouTube. You got to go to YouTube. You got to check us out on YouTube, man, on the Locked On Jaguars YouTube page. Make sure you like and subscribe. And we thank you for making us your first listen. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered for this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before, because BetOnline is where the game starts. And like I said, I'm glad you guys start here with us. And the Jaguars are starting to get serious again. I went to OTAs. It's the second week of OTAs, involuntary off-season workouts. And I pulled some stuff in. One of the things that I was able to, and I don't know why it caught me by surprise a little bit. First of all, they gave us these charts, right? So normally when you go in, you get the rosters. It's a little flimsy piece of paper, just like out of a standard copy machine. This one is a big, long, heavy, almost cardboard construction paper-like chart. Now, I got mine all wrinkled up, right? But it shows you how serious this team is, man. I was out there holding these. You should have saw us on the sideline. Everybody was holding these things. We looked like coaches looking down and trying to identify who some of these players are. The Young and Untested. All of these names on this chart, and you see them, it's like 90 of them, right? Something told me, I know this team is young. How young are they, right? Good old apple juice. I think the key is how old they aren't. The Young and Untested. I went through the roster. I said, I'm going to find out how many guys on this roster are 30 years old. Y'all won't believe how few guys on this roster are the age of 30, which is up in age when you think about some positions, but when you think about others, in terms of others, you see a lot of linemen and interior linebackers and safeties and quarterbacks and an occasional tight end. You see guys over 30 on a lot of rosters, right? Three players on the Jaguars roster are 30 or better. And one more is 29. Outside of that, it's the serious young and untested. These Jaguars are, I would bet the average age of them, they're probably like 25. Very, very young team. Extremely young. So do you automatically do what I do when a team is that young? You automatically switch and go, we have to temper our expectations a little bit. There is no way that a team full of 20-something-year-olds is going to raise so much sand that they're going to go win the national, the Super Bowl, not the national championship. Yeah, you have to temper it just a little bit. I think you have to realize that they don't have a lot of experience. And those guys that do have a lot of experience don't have a lot of experience winning. But there are some things, and I'm going to get to them in segment 2 and 3. There are some things and some people you can really, really be happy and pleased with, because I'm going to give you the first report. Now, I'm not going to overstep it because they had on helmets and shorts. It was, it was a situation where they're pretty much wearing helmets and shorts. But I will tell you this. There are some things for you guys to really, really be able to look forward to. I did not get the audio yet from the early press conference, but I actually asked Doug Peterson a question today. And one of the things that I asked him was, he talked about how the team needed to regain trust. It's almost like you come in and they're broken a little bit, I always make these analogies, so I'm going to do it again today. I saw you see those shows for Humane Society, and I'm not comparing people to dogs, but I'm kind of comparing people to dogs, right? Well, the dog, when they rescue the dog has been abused. He's been like just shell shot, and he wants to bite everybody the first day. And then slowly, 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 they gain his trust. They feed him, they pat him, they're very gentle with him. And then at the end of the video, the dog looks like a dog that's been loved properly his entire life, right? Now, human beings aren't quite the same, but when it comes to the fragile nature of an entire football team that went through all kinds of rigmarole, and we have to understand that football players, their life expectancy in the league is six, seven, 8 years for the most part, and you use one of those years in a bad situation. It gives you some pause that when you, you know, to think that when a new guy comes in here, he has to actually handle them with kid gloves a little bit. And about a week ago, Doug Peterson sort of hinted at that. He said, you know, we have to regain trust. We have to regain these guys' trust. And I totally get it. And I totally understand. So I asked him, I said, is there a fine line between regaining the trust and then pressing the line where you have to do the things that coaches have to do and hold guys accountable? And I like he says it's a great question. And he knew where exactly I was going. And he answered it with the type of answer that I really, really did expect. And he said, you have to give it to him basically in doses. And I'm going to paraphrase him. He said, you build their trust, and then you when you start pushing back, they believe in you, and you know when to push. So the more you give me, the more I'll give them in terms of that. But yeah, you do have to come in here. You can't be Captain Ahab and come in here and go all crazy on these guys. So it's nice to know that he has his finger on the pulse of the team. It's also nice to know that, to be quite frank, y'all, it's just night and day. It's night and day from what I saw last year in training camp. You don't have somebody micromanaging everyone on a bullhorn. And I'm going to get to that, because I was talking to, I think it was Gary Smith I was talking to at the time. I talked to a bunch of people today, and we were of Jacksonville.com, the Times Union. We were talking, and we were just like, last year, everything is the bullhorn. You're telling guys where to go, what direction. And then there's a countdown. There's a guy on the PA system going 5, 4, 3. Like, you only got a certain time to be there. And the phrase that I use, I said, that was all fake hustle. Fake hustle is a basketball term. Instead of doing what you're supposed to do, if you're supposed to be playing half court defense, you pick a guy up full court and you act like you're really in the way, and you're demonstratively acting like you're playing defense, but really you're not effective at all. And you're actually not even doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're trying to act like you're playing above the X's and O's. It's fake hustle. It's fake hustle. It's like, it's trying to show people that you're working hard when you're really not doing what you're supposed to do. I think there was a lot of fake hustle in the form of management and coaching last year, when obviously they didn't know what they were supposed to be doing. They wanted to appear that they were in charge. These grown men see right through that kind of stuff. And the people on the sidelines saw through it. But you give people the benefit of the doubt until they show up for games and they don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're getting delay of games, out of possession changes, and then another delay of game out of that timeout, and you have to call the timeout. It's unreal, unreal. So there's no substitute for actually understanding and knowing what you're supposed to be doing, and that all starts with communication. From what I saw today, Doug Peterson is an excellent communicator. There was one thing that tickled me pink is when I was telling Brian Sexton, I said, the offense completed a long pass, and Doug Peterson was in the defensive huddle talking to the defense. Now, his background is offense. So the fact that he was in the defensive huddle talking to the defense and encouraging the defense and telling them what he should, that means that he is not just the coach of the offense. He's the coach of the entire team. He's the head coach. And he's going to cover it all. Night and day. Night and day. So what I'm going to do in segment two, I'm going to tell you some of the other things from a team perspective, physically, that I noticed. And then I'm gonna spotlight two guys who really, really did look the part today. And if they get a lot of stuff out of them, this team could actually elevate its play and be very, very competitive quicker than anyone ever imagined. I'll go over all of that stuff for you here on Locked On Jaguars in just a second. I got to tell you guys about BetOnline, though, because If you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're probably winning you some money if you're wagering on sports, because you can go to our partners at BetOnline, because they continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. That finals is coming up, and I know everybody thought Boston was going to fall flat on their face the other day in Miami, but they did not, and they won the series. So it's Boston versus Golden State in the finals of the NBA. You can find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's playoffs, just like I talked about. The Yankees are rolling in baseball, and even some great boxing matches. We had some of those this weekend as well, with Tank knocking out Rolly Romero. And even next year's NFL futures, you can find that too. So you need to head to the website today to use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action, because BetOnline is where the game starts. And you guys start here with me every single day, Monday through Friday, on Locked On Jaguars. Tony Wiggins, your host. 13 years now covering this team, something like that. 13 long, long years. And for the most part, it's been a whole lot of "What have you done for me lately? When is it going to get better? When is it going to improve? How are they looking?" We come back here and tell you when they're running around in shorts that they look like they're going to make the playoffs. And then more of the same happens. I don't think this is going to happen this year. I think they're going to be a lot better. So physically, what do I notice? They look quicker at the wide receiver position. Guys are able to get open. I think they're going to attack the seams like they are a sewing machine, from what I saw today. Trevor's not just going to be throwing the ball deep on nine routes and throwing outside of the boundaries, throwing the guys running sideways. They are really, really challenging. They're going to be challenging vertically. And it's going to be with the wide receivers, going to be with the running backs, going to be with the tight ends. The route trees that they're running now look so much more fluid, and they make way more sense now than they have over the last couple of years. So an improvement in talent, and just an improvement in offensive design and expectation for Trevor Lawrence. It'll look more like a pro offense than it will somebody trying to implement a college playbook. It just looks like guys just are way more aware. I did ask a couple of players today, what's the difference? And you saw it in their eyes, man. It's like night and day. They said, you know, it's a heightened level of understanding of what you're supposed to be doing, a heightened level of expectation, a broader sense of the way the game is supposed to be played. And these are the things that I juxtapose from when I talk to them. Just everything just sort of opens up for these guys. That's offensively. Defensively, I'll tell you what. Let me get the special teams first. And I'm not giving away practice secrets or anything like that, because Doug Peterson actually discussed this in the press conference, if you will, before practice. And that is that they're trying everybody at punt return. Everybody. The one guy that looks the part really is Laviska Shenault. So we kept wondering all offseason, how are they going to use Laviska? How are they going to use Laviska? Well, one way they're using Laviska right now appears to be on punt return. Doug said he looks good. He asked him, had he ever done it? And Laviska said, yeah, I've done it. Doug said, let's see how it looks. And Laviska caught the ball really well on a couple of punts and was very sudden, and it looked natural to him. Now, he's not a jitterbug the way you're used to seeing guys, but he is a guy who can get straight up and down the field. And Doug Peterson talked about how powerful he is and how athletic he is. So this could be something that's tailor-made for him, where you want to force a guy to miss you, or if a guy tries to come in and angle tackle a guy whose legs are that big and strong, and he gets away from the first guy and you can just turn it straight up the field and have sure hands. Of course, we all know Jamal Agnew is the guy that's going to do that, but until Agnew's ready to come back and he's 100, it's nice to see that they have somebody else who can do it. I also saw James Robinson working on the sideline, pulling weights with his leg. Looks big and physical and mean and as hard to hit as ever. Travis Etienne, running full speed, looked very, very good. Had a spring about himself. He was galloping around the field, catching balls out of the backfield, running up the middle. So he looks good. He doesn't look like he was injured or banged up at all. So the team looks like it's starting to get healthy. Christian Kirk looks the part. Zay Jones actually did look extremely well, too. On the defense, Shaq Griffin, I don't think he was there. It's voluntary, but, you know, I didn't see him. He wasn't on the field. So the way that they lined up, they lined up a lot in base nickel. And the two outside guys were Darius Williams and Tyson Campbell. Tyson Campbell looks great. I'm going to tell you the two guys in segment three who really just caught my eye. But in terms of what they look like just on the field, they look bigger, especially in their front seven. I mean, when you got a couple of 265, 270-pound guys standing up on the outside, that's going to make your team look bigger. But they didn't lose anything in terms of speed. Kalavon Chaisson looked really good, and he would, because he's built like somebody out of a Black Panther movie or one of those Marvel guys. So he's going to look good too. But he was very, very active. He could have, you know, he doesn't appear to be a guy that's sulking. Jordan Smith looked good. Jordan Smith, 6'7". He's listed at 6'7", 250. He's a big dude standing up on the outside. So they have a lot of size and versatility with their edge guys. All of their edge guys, Kalavon's the smallest one, and I think Kalavon's like, what, 248, 250 at 6'4". They're bigger and they're longer, but they're not slower, and I think that's a key. The key is, when you do add size, does the size carry over? Or are you going to be just as big as you were in the past? That's about as big of a Jaguar team I've seen. And you remember, I was there when they had Calais and Malik. That's 6'5 and 6'8. But those guys were down linemen being that big. These dudes are big, and they're standing up on the outside. And I'm talking about Josh Allen and Trevon Walker, who are the starters. Huge, huge players. The team looks like they've gained so much size without losing any of their agility, any of their athleticism on the edge. I want to talk to you about two guys in particular that really, 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 they popped, you know. You always want to go and see if a guy pops. Well, they did. They had a little extra pop in them, and I'll do all of that in just a second here. In the third and final segment, OTA report here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, so a couple of guys that caught my eye today. One of them you're going to be pleasantly surprised about. But both of them are guys that I mentioned in previous shows that could really give the Jaguars a boost if they are as good as you think they are. Defensively, it's Andre Sisco. I think Andre Sisco is going to be a superstar. Just flashes, pops, looks quick, looks decisive. You can see why he was going to be a first-round pick had he not been coming off of an injury a couple of years ago. Andre Sisco looks like something we have not seen them have at safety in a long, long time, if ever. There is a presence about him. I was thinking the other day, like, if there's one guy I could have on defense from all of these teams in the past, it would be Rasheem Mathis. That's the feeling that you get when he's back. There's like nothing is going to get past him. I saw him a couple of times in some single high coverage. They kind of switched it up a little bit. I don't think they're going to do halves at safety. I think they're going to have one guy dominate in the middle of the field. Andre Sisco is in tip-top shape, looks extremely fast, looks athletic, looks like he's wired a certain way. He was all over the place, and I'm telling you, Trevon Jenkins was there as well, or Tashawn Jenkins, and he is healthy, 100% healthy from his injury last year. And he's a long, angular player as well, who can cover a lot of ground, but there was something about Andre Sisco today that made me go, wow. If that pans out and that turns out to be as good as we imagine, we're going to have to start giving Trent Baalke a little bit more credit for that draft he had last year, especially if ETN is able to come back. And if Andre Sisco, once they go to pads, and Doug Peterson spoke about that you have to wait until the pads come on to see some of the physicality. And I think everyone knows that when the pads come on, that's when you start to see these degrees of separation, because it's easy to think fast when you're not hitting anybody or getting hit. But when you start hitting, that changes the whole dynamic, because now that's an extra thing and real important thing that you have to do. You have to be able to tackle in the open field and bring down people. Andre Sisco looked well on the offense, and it's something that we all took notice of. Who was lined up at right tackle? Walker Little looked really, really good today. He's listed at 6'6", about 328, or 6'7", rather, every bit of it. But he looked extremely comfortable. He's quicker out of the huddle. He's more aware, and appears that he's more eager. Everything is sort of rushed. Like, everything is very, very important, the way they break the huddle. They don't walk out all lazy anymore. Those guys break the huddle, and they go to it. They hit it and get it, and they're right on the line, and they're ready, and they're down. He looks like he's in tip-top shape and appears to be another player that could turn the corner. And I think, because I didn't see him moving around, I saw him at right tackle. I did, however, see Juwan Taylor at right tackle, at left tackle. So now you're starting to see where the pecking order lies of who they believe is going to be that swing player. And I know it's early, but if I had to guess, I would say that Walker Little is going to start at right tackle, and Juwan Taylor is going to be your swing offensive lineman, where he's going to play all along that line. But they played him at both left and right tackle. They lined him up there today. And it appears that he was lined up there more than Walker was lined up there, though. So if we get a situation where Andre Sisco and Walker Little improve to the point where they're surefire starters on this team, and I know everyone expects that, Travis Etienne comes back and he's as good as he was advertised to be coming out of college, and he starts to live up to all of that potential. Trevor Lawrence takes the steps that we know that he's capable of taking and that we honestly believe he's going to take. Then you go back and you look at that draft, like, and Tyson Campbell has already done what he's done, and he looks good. He looks like the best player in the secondary, at least lining up at corner. And we'll start looking back and going, all wasn't terrible with that draft. It wasn't, because a new regime has come in and they have guys lined up and put in position where they have an expectation where they're going to play. A lot of times when they're in nickel, when they were nickel, of course, that's the 4-2-5 where they bring in either the extra corner or the extra safety. There was also times when they were in nickel that Trevon Walker did go with his hand on the ground with DeJuan Smoot. And who was that? Who else was lined up with him? I think it may have been Adam Gostis lined up, but they went really, really small with one edge rusher. And Shaq Quarterman, but it was Oluwakan and either Devin Lloyd or Chad Muma or all three, and mixing and matching up in the defensive backfields with the safeties too. Chris Claybrooks looked extremely well also. He moved around. He's athletic. He's fast. And you can see why. I know everybody thinks he's going to be an automatic one of those guys that are going to be cut. But you can see why they like him, especially doing special teams. He was always the first guy down. Very active. Looks like a guy who's an energizer bunny. Never runs out of energy. Lined up at the nickel with the twos and did really, really well. And when Doug Peterson was asked about where guys are going to play in terms of the secondary and who's going to be in the nickel, he says that it's not as easy as you think, and that's one of the things that we always talk about here, that folks think that you can automatically just put anybody in a slot. You can't. He says because tackling becomes a premium when you're in the nickel. And I know for a fact he didn't mention tackling, but I know blitzing, because if they blitz you off out of the slot, you got to be a guy that can get home and is used to being able to navigate his way through and find the quarterback. So good for Doug to explain that. When what's going to determine who plays inside is probably the guy with the skill set that can tackle and maybe a guy who can blitz too. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Tyson Campbell in there sometimes. And then they leave Shaq Griffin and Darius Williams outside. I would not be surprised, especially if it's a design where they want Tyson Campbell to blitz. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see him lined up in the slot, especially on those plays where he's going to go get the quarter. You want your biggest, fastest, strongest guy to be able to avoid and get through some of that contact and be able to get to the quarterback really, really fast. And you need a guy who's a sure tackler. And I think that's the case with him. So that's my OTA report. That's the way it looks. Tomorrow, on tomorrow's episode, what I'll do is I'll talk more about the young guys that need to step up for this team to get older really, really fast. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do. But the young guys that are going to have it, or, you know, they're going to have a little bit of a bullseye on their back where they got to play above their edge. We'll go through about 10 of those guys that have to actually step up and take a bigger role. You know, it's like JJ and Michael Evans when James went to work in Alaska on the pipeline. You got to step up, man, and be responsible. They don't have older players here, as we talked about. We call them the young and untested. So guys that are a little bit younger are going to have to step up, and we'll go over about 10 of those guys tomorrow. That's going to have to give you a little bit more than you hope rookies have to, or young guys have to, first, second, or third year players. But we'll see about who those guys are on tomorrow. But make sure you guys please check on the Locked On NFL podcast with yours truly. Locked On NFL is found wherever you get your podcasts, on all platforms, and it's free. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube page and check out the Locked On Sports Today show, because that show is outstanding. It gives you all the greatest hits from all around the country, from everything that's going on in sports, with a word or two also from your hosts, as well as the people who cover Locked On in various cities. Until tomorrow, I am your man, Tony Wiggins. Take it easy. I enjoyed OTAs today and enjoy the opportunity to come here to you where you are my first listen, so that we can give you all of the information from our eyes to your ears. And we'll do it again tomorrow here on the same place, same time on the Locked On Jaguars podcast. Thank you.